Today, we continue with lesson number 9 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shviyos. And today, we will cover the 9th and 10th Mishnayos of the second Perek. Perek Beis, Mishneh Tes, and Mishneh Yud. Yesterday, we learned that of the various types of crops, there are different cutoff points, different points which we use to determine whether a plant which is growing continually from one year to the next is adjudged to be a product of the earlier year or of the later year, which is important for two issues. One is the issue of Ma'asros, because Ma'aseh Sheni is given during the first and second year and fourth and fifth year of the sixth year cycle, whereas Ma'aser Oni is given on the third year and the sixth year of the sixth year cycle. So that it's necessary to determine whether the plant is considered, for example, a product of the second year and mechuyev in Ma'aser Sheni, or of the third year and mechuyev in Ma'aser Oni. And we learned that for tvua and for zesim, for wheat and barley and other grains, and also for olives, the criteria is shlish gidulo. If it reached a third of its growth in the second year, then it's ma'aser sheni. If it doesn't reach a third of its growth until the third year, then it's ma'aser oni. And similarly for shviyas, if it reached a third of its growth in the sixth year, it's peros, it's tfuah from shishis. If it does not reach a third of its growth in the sixth year, but only in the seventh year, it's peros shviyas. That's with reference to tevuah and zesim. With reference to yerokot, to vegetables, the criterion is lakita, when it is gathered. So if something grows in the second year but is gathered in the third year, it would be ma'aser oni. If it happens to be gathered in the second year, it's ma'aser sheni. Similarly, with reference to Shemitah, if it's gathered in the sixth year, it's peros shviyas. But if it grows and attains its full growth, in the case of yerokos, in the sixth year, but the lakita, the gathering, the harvesting, is done in the seventh year, it's considered peros shviyas. When it comes to ilonos, to fruit trees, we look at the point of chanota, when the fruit begins to be discernible as a fruit. You can see, oh, this is a budding apple. That's chanota. That's the point at which you assign it to the second year or third year or sixth year or seventh year, etc. However, we learned yesterday that there are four species, orez, dochen, progim, and shumshimin. Now, when it comes to all of the species that we'll come across in Maseches Shviyos, there usually are debates as to what these mean in contemporary terms. We already discussed the fact that dala'as does not mean what is contemporarily called dala'as, which is a pumpkin, but rather dala'as refers to a calabash gourd, something very specific. In Mishnah Zion yesterday, we learned of four species, all of which are in the history of the Rishonim and the Mefarshei HaMishnah have had various translations into contemporary language. But it's pretty much the consensus that Orez refers to rice, Dochen refers to millet, M-I-L-L-E-T, Pirogin refers to poppy seeds, which in Yiddish is called mon, And shumshamin refers to sesame seeds. Shumshamin, there seems to be no discussion about, no controversy about. So these types of grains, I don't know what generic term to call them, but you will notice they are all small seed type things. Even rice is a seed, dochen millet for sure. Poppy seeds are, we call them poppy seeds, and similarly shumshamin, we call them sesame seeds. For them, there's another criterion which we use to decide which year they belong to. And that is the criterion of hashrosha, when they take root. So in the case of Orez, Dochen, Progim, Shumshamin, if they take root before Rosh Hashanah, then Misasrin L'Sha'ovar, they're assigned to the previous year, the pre-Rosh Hashanah year. If they take root after Rosh Hashanah, they're assigned to the L'Shanah Haba, to the following year, to the year in which they take root after Rosh Hashanah. We also learned yesterday in Mishnah number 8 about another two species, one being Pul HaMitzri, which according to Rav Shimon Shizuri is Kiyotze Bohem, is like Orez, Dochen, Progin, and Shumshamin, and you follow the Hashrosha. What is Pul HaMitzri? Again, I explained to you a few days ago that I consult regularly, although not always do I include his teachings in our lessons here on the Mishnayos, but referring to a contemporary of ours, Professor Yehuda Felix, who wrote extensively upon inyanim, agricultural subjects from a halachic and Jewish historical perspective. And he explains that Pul HaMitzri is what the Arabs call today Lubya, which is a type of bean which is grown for three reasons. You grow it for zera. Zera means you grow it to eat the seed. It's also grown to eat the yorok, to eat the little pouches that grow eventually upon this plant. And you also use it for feed, animal feed. He suggests that the true meaning of this Pul HaMitzri is what we call in English a cowpea, C-O-W-P-E-A, so much so that nowadays in Hebrew, farmers call this Pul HaMitzri Afunat HaBokor, the bean or the pea which is used for cows, to feed cows. That's the Pul HaMitzri. So according to Rav Shimon, Pul HaMitzri, reviewing Mishnah 8 now, Pul HaMitzri, if it is planted in order to eat the seeds, the pea of the pea or bean of the plant, then you consider it to be like Orez, Dochen, Perogim, and Shumshamin, where the criterion of which year they're assigned to is Hashrosha, when they take root. This is Rav Shimon Shizuri's opinion. Rabbi Shimon adds that Afunim HaGamlonim, a different type of pea or bean, which is Gamlonim, which is thick and full and large, also follows Kiyotze Behem, also follows Hashrosha, when it takes root. What is the identity of the Afunim HaGemlonim? This seems to be to clearly be, according to Professor Felix, what we call today the chickpea, what the Arabs call, and of course it's crept into our daily language, hummus, the chickpea, which is also known in the Talmudic literature as Afunim or Chimtza. Chimtza. And this chickpea, according to Rabbi Shimon, is the determinant of which year it's assigned to is Hashrosha. However, Hashrosha. Rabbi Elazar says in the Mishnah number Ches that these Afunim HaGimlonim, we follow the tirmul, when they begin, when the plant begins to show these little pouch-like or pods in which the chickpeas are growing. So the tirmul is the criterion, according to Rabbi Lozar, of the year of which we assign the zafunim ha-gimlonim to. This is, again, the background of yesterday, moving now into today's Mishnayos, Perek Bey's Mishnah Tes. And we refer here to bitsolim ha-sorisim, which literally means the onions which are sterile, which show no seeds, no seeds are obvious upon them. Upul ha-mitzri, and the pul ha-mitzri, which we learned about yesterday, the luvia type bean or pea, which have these are sometimes used to eat, sometimes they're used to eat the seeds thereof. In the case of the bitpotzel hasarisim, to eat the dried onion, to keep it dry and eat it kind of like a seed. And pul ha-mitzri, we saw some keep it to eat the seeds thereof, and some use it to eat the leaves or the tarmilim thereof. So when it comes to these types of species, bitsolim hasorisim and pul ha-mitzri, we have to be able to determine, are they being cultivated in order to eat the seeds or the dried onion, in which case we would follow the hashrosha, or are they being used as vegetables, yurokos, to eat fresh, to eat the leafy parts, in which case you would follow, like all yurokos, you would follow lekita. If you follow Hashrosha, the sixth year, the Hashrosha was the sixth year, there's no problem of Perosh Shvius. If you follow Lakita when it's harvested, then, of course, it's harvested in Shemitah year. In Shemitah year, it's Perosh Shvius. So the criterion to use is, how did you water these particular species? The assumption here is that these Bitsolim HaSarisim and pul ha-mitzri are grown under the conditions of Beis HaShalochin. They are grown in fields which are watered, which are artificially irrigated. And suppose you don't water them, Shemona mehen mayim shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah, for the last 30 days you don't water them. So if you don't water them, you're indicating that you're eating them, treating them as seeds, and therefore you follow the Hashrosha. They are like Orez, Dochen, Progim, and Shumshamin. You follow the Hashrosha. The Hashrosha was Shishis, the sixth year. Mis Asrin L'Sheovar. So if it's a question of Maasros, you would follow the past year, the previous year. In other words, for example, if these things grew and in the second year of the cycle, and you refrain from watering them during the last 30 days of the second year of the cycle, but you harvested them in the third year of the cycle, so that Maestros would follow L'Sheovar, the second year, because you indicated that you're using it for seed, and therefore you follow the Hashrosha, which was in the second year, Misasrin L'Sheovar. Umutoren B'Shvius, change the scenario to sixth and seventh year. These Bitsolim Hasarisim, these Pul HaMitzri species, grew in the sixth year, but was not the lakita, the actual harvesting won't be until the seventh year, the Shvius year. Mutorin bashvius, they are peros shishis. The hashrosha took place in the sixth year, and you indicated that you're using it for seed, with the consumption of the seed, and not for yurokos, and therefore you follow the hashrosha. For imlav, if you didn't refrain from watering them, you continued to water them. So that by that you indicated that you intend to treat this as a yorok, you're going to eat the leafy parts, etc. Then asurin b'shvius, because the lakita, the actual harvesting would be in the seventh year. The seventh year is a peros shvius. You follow the lakita. Umisasrin l'shana haba, and as far as determining the maestros, for example, if the scenario is second and third year. So the Hashrosha took place in the second year, but you continue to water it right up to Rosh Hashanah. of the third year, so therefore we treat it like Yerokos, and you have to give Maaser Oni as you would in the third year. The Mishnah continues, Vishel Baal, however, if we have these plants that are grown not under conditions of Beis HaShalochim, not in the conditions of an artificially irrigated field where we can speak of refraining from watering them as being the criterion, but rather these species, Bitzolim HaSarisim and Pul HaMitzri, grew in a Sodeh Shel Baal, meaning a field which is watered by the natural means of the rain, not artificially irrigated. So how do you determine whether they are being cultivated for the consumption of the seed or being cultivated for the consumption of the leafy parts as a yorok, as a vegetable, as opposed to just eating the beans or the peas or the seeds? So the girsa that we have in most of our editions, and probably in the edition of the Mishnayos you're following, is Shemona mehen mayim shtei onos. Well, if you refrain for two periods from watering them, then Rav Meir says that indicates that they're for seeds. And the Chachamim Omrim Sholosh, if you refrain from watering them for three watering periods, then that shows that you're cultivating them for seeds and you follow the Hashrosha. The problem is that normally we define the Sedeh HaBaal as a field which is not watered at all, but rather it's irrigated naturally by the rain. So what are we talking about here of Shemona Mehem Mayim, that you refrained from irrigating them? You don't irrigate them artificially. That's the definition of Shel Baal. So there's two basic approaches. Obviously, within each of these approaches, there are sub-approaches. One approach is to say that even a Sedeh HaBaal, even a field where you depend upon the rainwater, but certain plants need extra water even beyond the normal rainwater. Not so much as in a Sedeh HaShalochin, which is totally dependent upon artificial irrigation. But even a field where plants are raised by natural rainwater, nevertheless, you water them from time to time. So if you do not water them and you refrain from such watering for two periods of watering, or according to the Chachamim, for three periods of watering, this is the indication that the Bitzolim Masaris and Pul HaMitzri are being used for seed consumption, and therefore you would follow the Hashrosha, not the Likita. However, if you look carefully in the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, and Professor Felix prefers this approach, which others, Melech HaShlomo and others, also adopt, and that is that we do not have in the Mishnah at this point the word Mayim. At the beginning of the Mishnah, it should say Shemona Mehem Mayim Bishloshim Yom Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, because there we're talking about a Beis HaShalochin, about an artificially irrigated field in which you can say, well, they didn't irrigate it, they didn't turn on the hoses for those last 30 days of the year. But here, where we read Vishel Baal, it shouldn't read Shemona Mehem Mayim, but rather Shemona Mehem Shtei Onos, meaning two periods of Lakita went by, two periods where you could have harvested them, but instead of harvesting them, you let them grow, meaning you're growing them because you want them to dry out and to be able to use the seeds or the dried onion core. That's why. So Shemona Mehem Shtei Onos, you refrain from Lakita for two periods. You let go by two opportunities to harvest them. That's an indication that you're treating them for seed consumption and not for the leafy yorok consumption, and therefore you can follow Hashrosha. And according to Chachamim, you need to have three onos, three periods of time during which you could have performed the Lakita, but you opted not to, indicating that you're going to depend upon the Hashrosha because you're using this for seed consumption. That is Mishnah Tests of today's study. Now, we go on to Mishnah Yud. HaDiluin. We already encountered the Diluin, the Dalas, and we explained, following Professor Felix, that the Dalas is what's called in the Gemara Karo Kuf Resh Aleph, And in Latin, if you're interested, it's the Lagenaria vulgaris, Lagenaria vulgaris, Vulgaris, which in English is called the calabash gourd. And it looks like a bottle. It has a wide bottom and a kind of a pointed top, like a flask. So this dalas is eaten as a gourd, as a melon or a squash of some sort. But suppose hadiluin shekimon lizera, you want to keep this dalas in the ground growing, and you're not harvesting to eat it as squash or melon for a salad or a soup or whatever, but rather you're keeping it in the ground because this dalas has seed. Now the seed of this dalas, as opposed to the seed of the pula mitzri or etc., or the afunim, the seed here is not consumable. It's not edible at all. In fact, not even edible for animals, the Yerushalmi says. So therefore, but you're keeping the seed because you want the seed for planting. So im hikshu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if this dalas, these diluim, became dried out and hardened before Rosh Hashanah of Shviyas, during the sixth year, and thereby the nifsalu me ochel odom, and they're no longer edible, people wouldn't eat it, they're so dried out, mutala kaimon b'shviyas, then it's permissible to keep them into Shviyas, because these are peros shishis. The lifespan of the dalas is over during the sixth year. You're only keeping them because of the seeds that are within them. And these seeds are used for planting, presumably. So it's permissible to keep them into the Shviyas. V'imlav. However, if they did not become hardened and dried out during the sixth year, but only into the seventh year, after Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, then also lekaimon b'shviyas. Then they are considered peros shviyas, and they have to be treated as peros shviyas will be treated. The Yerushalmi says, how do you know if they're so thoroughly dried out or not? So the Yerushalmi quotes Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, who says, you take a pin and you prick the dalas with this pin, and you see whether the hole closes by itself or remains open. If it's so hard that the hole from the puncture remains open, doesn't reclose naturally, then you know that it's so hard that it can be treated as peros shviyas. However, this plant, known as dalas or diluin, besides having this gourd, which is the main edible functional piece of the plant, also has little buds or leaves that look like dates, like tamorim. So those components of the plant, the tamoro shelohem, some say this refers to the branches of the diluim, the branches of this plant, they remain asuros b'shviyas. They are edible, and they remain have a halacha of peros shviyas even after the dalas, the actual squash, the actual gourd has dried out. Asuros b'shviyas. They have a halacha of peros shviyas. The Mishnah continues with a different halacha, and that is umarbitzin be'ofor lovon divrei Rabbi Shimon. Again, various interpretations as to what that means. We'll follow the Rambam, who says that ofor lovon means simply steha lovon, not a field of trees, but a field of grain, etc. So Rav Shimon says that it's permissible to water that's such a field. It's permissible to water them. The Rambam says that Rav Shimon is referring to a field which has trees which are distant from each other to the extent that there are that they're spread out over a field. And Rav Shimon says that it's permissible to water such a field, meaning to sprinkle them with bits of water, not to focus flood of water upon them, but rather to sprinkle them with bits of water upon the trees so that the trees not get ruined. Others say that Ofar Lavan does not refer to a Stei HaLavan, but rather refers to a very powdery earth in which there are plants, and it requires minimal hashkah, spritzing, so to speak. So that would be permissible even during Shemitah itself, it would seem, that Rav Shimon believes in that. So Rav Shimon is saying, Umarbitzin be Ofar Lavan. The Professor Felix helps out a little bit here and says that this harbotza it's not hashkah. Hashkah means watering a plant or a tree, a grown thing. It's in the earth. The tomatoes are growing. You take a hose and you water it. That's hashkah. Harbotza means you have here in front of you no plants, just land, which is very sandy and dry, and you want to water it to begin to soften it up in some way. That's permissible. It's a hashkah, it's a watering, it's a harbotza, which is a hashkah, watering before there are any plants in the field. Be'ofar lova. The Mishnah concludes with an opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who disagrees with Rav Shimon, and he says, Oser, it's not permissible to water even Ofar Lavan under the conditions that I described according to the various opinions. The halacha remains like Rabbi Shimon, lenient. The Mishnah concludes with a discussion about orez, rice. Now, this Mishnah is actually one of the proofs that can be offered that orez is indeed rice. Because, in other words, the Hebrew word in the Mishnah, orez, is what we call today rice. Because if you know anything about rice, the way it's grown, it's not enough just to water it or to plow it or to whatever. You've got to flood the field. So can you do this? Is this permissible during the Shviyas year? So the Tanakhama says, Mimorsin Be'orez Bashviyas. It is permissible to render the entire field of Orez muddy, swampy, full of water. We're speaking here of Orez, which, as we learned before, which took root before Rosh Hashanah. So it took root before Rosh Hashanah, it's Peros Shishis. Now, during Shemitah year, you want to flood it in order that the Orez shouldn't rot and dry out in the field. That's permissible, because you're not watering or flooding the field of Peros Shemitah, of Peros Shviyas. You're flooding a field where the rice took root long ago in the sixth year, so you're flooding it to keep up Peros Shishis. That's permissible. Mamarsin, the word mamares means to flood something, to take something solid and make it muddy or loose, etc. That's the Tanakhama, and that's the Halacha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Avol Ein Mechasechin. There's another procedure that's done to Orez, to rice. Rice doesn't just grow as we see it in the box, little white kernels, but rather it's a plant, and the plant has leaves. To trim those leaves of the rice, this cannot be done during the Shemitah year, even though the Orez is Peros Shishis. You don't cut the leaves. The reason being, cutting the leaves is not essential to the rice. It makes the rice better quality. So, a melacha, an avodas hakarka, work, agricultural work, which is done merely to better, to improve a product, a crop, that's not permissible on Shemitah. However, something which is done so that the crop not spoil, to preserve it from spoiling, prevent it from spoiling, that would be permissible during Shemitah. So memorsin is permissible, whereas mechaschin, trimming the leaves off, this is not permissible. Rav Shimon is not arguing at all with the Tanakhama. He's simply pointing out the marais to flood the rice field. That's necessary so that the rice not deteriorate and die. So that's permissible during Shemitah. But the mechasrin is not essential. It's only something which is going to make a better quality rice. That's not permitted during Shemitah. And so we have concluded the second perek, and with it we have concluded lesson number 9.